We have, what, 13 military regiments, and most of them are overseas. Even if we bring them all back, 13 military regiments is maybe enough to corral the people in Manhattan. But we certainly can't control all the people in this country with 13 military regiments. That's just not enough. And I guarantee that when the military tries to deputize all the police force, all the first responders in the country, it's just not going to work. Those people live in communities. They're committed to those communities. They're not committed to the U.S. Pentagon. Ultimately, at some point, peak oil leads to the Greatest Depression. It leads to massive unemployment approximating 100%. Fiat currency becomes worth less and less until fiat currency becomes worthless. What it means is there's very little gasoline or diesel, very little distillates, no food in the grocery stores, no fossil fuels for air conditioning or heat, and no water from the municipal taps. What that means is no Western civilization. Finally. And that's good news because, one, it stops the overshoot before it gets even worse. Do you want us to terminate the industrial economy when there are 9 billion people on the planet? 10 billion? 12 billion? How many do you need to suffer and die young? In addition, how many species do we need to drive to extinction every day before we realize it's not such a great idea? Here's the relationship between gross domestic product and listed species in the United States, threatened and endangered species. You'll see the data stop at 2000. And that's okay, because that's when the lost decade began. There's been essentially no economic growth since then. And under the George W. Bush administration, we stopped listing species as threatened or endangered. So they both table off. So the curve holds. We're driving to extinction some 150 to 200 species a day. Every single day. What gives us the right? Who made us God? 150 to 200 species a day. By the way, we need those species for our own survival. At some point, we become one of those. Even if we don't terminate the industrial economy, especially if we don't terminate the industrial economy, even if we don't overheat the planet beyond human habitability, we still drive ourselves to extinction because we obliterate all the food we need, all the pollinators we need, everything we need for our own survival. I think that's a bad idea. Therefore, I think energy decline inducing an economic collapse is great news for me and you, every person from a non-industrial culture, every non-human species on the planet, and all of our children and grandchildren who want to survive beyond 2035. If we're going to develop a durable set of living arrangements, we first and foremost have to recognize that the industrial economy is a subset of the environment, not the other way around, as every mainstream neoclassical economist would have you believe. The economy is part of the environment, not the other way around. We are part of the living planet, not the other way around. In addition, we have to use only local materials. No exports, no imports, no out-of-season asparagus at the grocery store, no Costa Rican bananas, no cheap plastic crap from China, none of that. We have to live in a place as if we belong in that place. And if you tell me it can't be done, you're dismissing the first 2 million years of the human experience. Of course it can be done. It will be far more challenging this time because we have so many more people and so badly degraded systems on which we depend. We must consume materials at the rate they are produced. Currently, soils, water, and fossil fuels fall squarely into the category of things we use far more quickly than they are produced. And we must obviously rely on our local human community for support. There ain't no lone rangers in collapse. Not too many people can live like a hermit. Not too many people in the Stone Age live that way. And not too many people would want to anyway. I have no interest in holing up in a bunker with my gun and warding off the bad guys. Is that a fun way to live? I don't think so. In this country, we have the antithesis of durable living. We built a set of living arrangements after World War II that was inherently unsustainable. over the shortest time frame possible. We built a set of living arrangements that required us to burn all the fossil fuels we possibly could, that required us to consume. We have an economy that is supported 70% by personal consumption. We have a set of living arrangements that requires us to drive to work, to drive to play, to drive to where we shop, to drive, so that we require two cars in every garage. This isn't Austin, but it could be. It's a suburban nightmare. Consuming, as our economy requires, as our set of living arrangements requires, seems like a bad idea based only on these simple definitions. And it's worse than that. This set of living arrangements requires obedience at home and oppression abroad. It requires us to turn on the television, soak up the soma, immerse ourselves in the ultimate hologram, live as if we are not part of this world. Obey, obey, obey. Our economy is not socialism, and it's not quite fascism yet. But instead, it's as Paul and Ann Ehrlich described in One with Nineveh, it's capitalism for the poor and socialism for the rich. We bail out anybody rich who gets in trouble, starting with the big banks. Where's my bailout? Obedience at home. This picture in the upper right from Alabama about 2 years ago, when citizens of a town legally protested illegal actions by the city's banks. So the National Guard was illegally called in to quash the protest. You can't even protest in this country without a permit anymore. When I talk about resistance to 20-year-olds and younger in college classes, when I talk about resistance, they have no idea what I'm talking about. My generation grew up on resistance. Woodstock and the Summer of Love and all that environmental legislation and pulling out of the Vietnam War. That was not the idea of the government. That was not the idea of corporations. That was resistance. That was having a protest without a permit. Imagine doing that now and not spending the rest of your life in Guantanamo Bay. And you can't even imagine it because you can't get anybody to protest anyway. I might get in trouble. They might shut down my Facebook page. But I digress. It's not just obedience at home, it's oppression abroad. And it's oppression of everything and everybody abroad. We will kill everything and everybody if it provides the crude oil we need to support this set of living arrangements. And if you think that's not true, think about hope and change for a minute. Think about the American Gorbachev, who was brought in under the notion of transparency and reform, just like Gorbachev was, and who instead has ratcheted up extraordinary retention, has ratcheted up two wars and stacked on a third. Looks like we're headed for a fourth in Yemen. Has affirmed the right of the CIA to kill U.S. citizens on U.S. soil without a trial. Suspended habeas corpus. We will oppress anything and everything to keep civilization going. This is the moral imperative. This is why I went back to the land, why I left my high pay, low work job at a major research university, 9 books into a very successful career at the age of 49. I couldn't take it anymore. I wanted no part of city living. City living is the apex of empire. For the price of 2 hours' work at minimum wage, you can have a really good meal at half the restaurants in town. What's the cost? What's the cost under the $15? The trouble is that once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. And once you've seen it, keeping quiet, saying nothing becomes as political an act as speaking out. There's no innocence. And so I saw it, and I had to run away. The bad news for you is that you've seen it now. And I'm sorry. But our set of living arrangements we have developed in this country, the empire we've built in this country, is absolutely horrific in every conceivable way. The worst of all the truly horrible civilizations preceding us.